Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, 86 degrees here in Brooklyn, New York, and welcome to another exciting edition of Blog Talk Radio with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman, on the mic, 10:30 a.m. on a Monday, 8/6/2018, and it's a beautiful day outside. I didn't do anything this weekend. I really didn't, man. I just basically chilled. I had every intention of getting up and going to church service. I haven't been there in a while. It was communion, actually, yesterday, first Sunday every month, and I couldn't even summon the energy. I just wanted to chill. You know, I'm going through, a phase, a period, a season, however you choose to characterize it, where I just want to, I want to reflect, and I want to, I just want to make really good decisions, you know. And I was telling you last week's show that I, you know, was experiencing some pushback, resistance, if you will, opposition, obstruction, from vendors and acquaintances, you know, persons that I've either done business with or have attempted to do business with. And, you know, I just wanted to reflect on this and just think about it. And I've gotten some answers through meditation and prayer, and others through just research. And we'll see where it goes. We'll see what happens. Well, I hope you had a good weekend. And I didn't watch any. Did I watch any? So I watched the Baltimore Ravens. I had actually traveled last week, and I was in Kentucky picking up some office equipment. I think I mentioned it last week. And so I caught the Ravens against Chicago. It was a very good game. Really exciting because you had three quarterbacks on the field, two African-American, RGB3, Robert Griffin Jr. III from formerly of the Washington Redskins. Then you had this new kid, oh my God, I can't think of where he came out of. A young quarterback, he really needs to develop a lot. He's only 21, and he has a lot of flaws, but you can see he has tremendous potential. And then, of course, you have their stalwart, Joe Flacco, but who didn't play. So both the black quarterbacks, RGB3, and the kid, and I don't know why, this isn't a sports show, so you know, but I happen to like football a great deal, as most people do, irrespective of the controversy that it has become embroiled in as a consequence of Chump the Brain Dead comic Carnival Barker, a.k.a. Clueless the Clown, stoking fears and this full of, you know, full patriotism. You know, it's phony. He's no more of a patriot than he is. If anything, he's a traitor. His treasonous behavior at the Helsinki conference a couple of weeks ago, you know, castigating the United States. Not a lot of problems with the United States, man, but, you know, this is still our country. Bottom line, you know, Whitey thinks that this is their country, and, you know, that's fine. They can think what they want to think. But the African-American community is an integral component of the American fabric, and to try to exclude us or marginalize our existence would rend that fabric asunder. And beyond that, we're not going for it. So you have these young, dynamic black guys, you know, LeBron James, namely, who Chuck also went after, that are doing big things, you know. Unlike Michael Jordan, who thankfully came out when Chump attempted to divide us after criticizing LeBron James, you know, calling him and Don Lemon of CNN the dumb and dumber. And if anybody's dumb, you know, we know that Chump ought to look in the mirror. But that being said, you know, these young athletes aren't going to go for it. I'm just waiting to see what happens with the Kaepernick thing. I'm anxious. You know, it's a big stakes thing. You know, they would have settled with the guy. They know they have liability there. I mean, a liability is quite apparent. You know, they have some really incriminating emails, you know, that boister his complaint. You know, that the owners colluded against him in denying him. I mean, everybody knows. I mean, you know, like the guy or hate him, he is a starting quarterback. That's the bottom line. There were several teams that could have used a quarterback that plays just like he does. And I don't want to name the teams. Well, I can. You know, I know Kansas City. It's a couple of teams, not only Kansas City, but it's a couple of teams that could have used a quarterback, backup or starting, that played just like Colin Kaepernick plays. And they didn't pick him up. And, you know, they were... Excuse me, I was yawning, and I don't know why. I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. And then I had to get up early. I had to do something. So I've been up for quite a while. That being said, then, you know, they have emails saying basically you know, the owners didn't want to, you know, front office staff, which is comprised primarily of white males, you know, they weren't going to pick the guy up, you know, because, you know, it's a thing where these guys are on a reservation, you know, and they, you know, they can be, you know, they're allowed to play, but they're not to be, you know, they're not to be outspoken, they're not to use the platform, their celebrity, in order to advance, you know, the common good. And, you know, we're not going for it. I mean, a lot of these young athletes, man, I'm very proud of these kids. You know, they're absolutely not going for it. They're, you know, unlike Jordan, who wanted to protect his brand when he was still playing. And, you know, I guess it's worth it to him. He's a billionaire now, and he owns Charlotte Hornets, among other business interests. I don't even know where he lives anymore. I know he remarried. And I don't believe he's in Chicago anymore. You know, Chicago's, you know, a world-class city, but it has a lot of problems. And beyond that, it's cold. You know, because I was talking to my business partner and my girl, and you know, I was telling her that, you know, right now Detroit looks pretty inviting. I mean, it's going through a resurgence, revitalization. Urban renewal, however you want to call it, which is gentrification in a different cloak. And it might be nice to go there and grab some properties, which, you know, segues into another problem I'm having where I attempted to do that. And, you know, I got blocked by some racist attorney that I had to, you know, I had to sue him, basically. You know, it's unfortunate, you know, but he isn't above the law. And he knows better. Beyond that, then he was being insulting and disrespectful. And, you know, I just, you know, that didn't motivate me to do that because there's a lot of work involved when you sue anyone if you do it correctly. You know, so it was something that I did not want to do. But, you know, this is for our company and for, you know, me personally, and I need this property. And I don't need him hindering it, you know, with his foolishness. So, you know, we're going to battle it out for whatever it's worth. And, you know, they're going to know that I'm not someone to be toyed with. And this is how you got to do it. But the flip side of it is, and this is what I've been talking about over the last few shows, which is very dangerous, and I don't think that we're looking at this, because, you know, Trump is history. I mean, if he lasts, you know, the rest of the year, we only have 4 or 5 months left in the year, not even 5 months, I think 4 months left, I'd be shocked. I'd be stunned if he could make it to December. And I don't understand all these pundits, especially African-American ones, that are normalizing this, like this guy can actually make it not only to the end of the year, but to his second term, third term, and fourth term, and eventually run for re-election. It's not going to happen, man. I mean, I don't care, you know, what the numbers are on his side. His base only comprises a small percentage of the Republican Party. And so when they say 80, he enjoys 80-90%. It's fine, but that's only 23% of the voting public. So it's the independents that we have to encourage to put a stop to this foolishness that we see evident in Washington, D.C. Now, it is absolutely outrageous. I mean, we've never seen anything like this in our lifetimes. And it's embarrassing. It's demoralizing. You know, to have a third of the country that believes in this garbage that this guy spews on a daily basis when he's not lying. That being said, I watched the gorgeous, oh man, I don't know how to characterize this sister, man, but she is still really gorgeous. She's still brilliant. She's still who she says she is, man. The daughter of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Bernice King, Reverend Bernice A. King, and you know, she did a Facebook Live yesterday. I didn't catch it. I didn't know she was on. I have her on my feed, but I didn't know she was on. And so I caught it subsequently, and I posted, but it was brilliant. I mean, she went after these preachers that set up, I mean, it's just outrageous. And not only her, but I just wanted to talk about her because you don't see her often, you know, and she's a contemporary of mine. We're roughly the same age. And I've always admired her. I followed her, not only her career, but her her academic career. You know, she went to Spelman as an undergrad and subsequently to, and I don't know why this college just flew out of my head, this university, Emory, Chandler School of Law, Chandler School of Theology, one or the other. But she went into the dual degree program down there. So, you know, a lot of people don't know it, and then, you know, a lot do, you know, because she's a, I'm sure she pledged some sorority down there when she was at Spelman. And, you know, that's her hometown, Atlanta. You know, her and her brother still live there. Her other brother lives on the West Coast, and her eldest sister, Yolanda King, long passed away. As, you know, you all know, her mother and, you know, her father was assassinated in the late 60s, April of 68. And that's why we were trying to get Earl Caldwell on. He was the only reporter at the time to actually witness the assassination. Not necessarily witness it, but he was in the vicinity when it occurred. I mean, she really did a good job, man. I'm personally biased because I've always admired her. She's a beautiful woman. She's a king, and I mean, she has all the attributes of someone that any man would, you know, love to, you know, to be in the company of, just spend some time with her, you know, just eating and, you know, and talking and that sort of thing. So at any rate, she was basically talking about these black pastors and said, you know, they had an obligation, and they did have an obligation to confront Trump about his race. They were saying they were there about criminal justice reform. What criminal justice reform has Trump, you know, I mean, he hasn't done anything. I mean, we could go down the bullets, the bullet line of accomplishments or of things that we would like to see accomplished in criminal justice reforms, and he has done none of them. He hasn't even spoken about it. And then on top of that, he put into the critical role a law enforcement role, Jefferson Beauregard Sessions, a Nevada racist, Reverend King's mother, Coretta Scott King, said she could not in good faith support because the guy's an avowed racist. And he's not from Georgia, he's from the next state over, Alabama. So you knew what his agenda was when he, you know, just because they're on the outs doesn't mean that, you know, because think about this, you know, to swallow all this foolishness these personal attacks, ad hominem, some of them, pretty vicious, you have to be pretty committed racist to deal with that. Because you're so intent on effecting your own agenda. And there was an issue, and it hasn't come to the fore yet. It hasn't come to a head. I think there are other things that are going to subsume it. But, you know, on the marijuana issue, an example, Sessions said that he was going to adhere to federal law, and Chump said that he was siding with the senator, who is a Republican from Colorado, who said that, you know, they introduced him and, you know, a couple other senators, I don't know, was Cory Booker and Camilla Harris out in California, that basically gave the states an exemption, a legal right, you know, like states' rights, to, you know, if they already had it in place, to, you know, basically like the Comey memo. Which basically said that we're not going to pursue federal intervention in states that have legalized marijuana, whether recreationally or medically. So it's interesting that, you know, Sessions said, hey, well, I don't care, I'm being, and Trump said that he was going to follow these senators. So that hasn't come to a fore yet, but I'm interested to see. I mean, all these dynamics, I'm interested to see, and I don't know why I can't talk. Maybe it's a consequence of my fatigue, why I can't talk this morning. But at any rate, I'd be interested to see what happens, you know. So I'm really, 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 really interested to see how this is going to play out over the next a few months, because everything is happening so quickly. I mean, you know, so after Reverend King called these pastors, I mean, it was a beautiful thing. You have to read it. And then, you know, in the wake of that, another prominent theologian or clergyman from, I believe, Texas, don't quote me, his gospel man, a Baptist minister. I'm not familiar with him, but I know he's well known. Because he had some people that signed off that I do personally know, like Floyd and Elaine Flake. I know them personally, Jamal, Brian from Baltimore personally. So I do know that he has had this guy is well known among the clergy, and they respect him to the degree that they're willing to sign off on an open letter that he also sent to this group of black pastors. Now, some of these guys I didn't know, like John Gray. Everybody's saying, oh, John Gray, he really disgraced himself. And Don Lemon had him on his show. And he was saying, well, you know, I had a question. He was, you know, basically rationalizing why he was there. But the point is well made by, you know, Reverend King, by Don Lemon, and by this pastor in Texas that, well, when you guys had the opportunity to correct the record, you allowed this guy to sit up and basically lie, tell untruths in your face. And then not only that, you had guys on the other end, you know, the extreme end, like Daryl Scott out of Cleveland. I mean, he's a joke. Who would even attend this guy's church? It's just astounding that have gone so far as to say that Trump is the most pro-black president we've ever had. Well, we actually had a black president, and he was the most pro-black president we've ever had. Everybody is like lauding Clinton. Clinton locked up more black men than anybody, and he rolled back the Fair Credit Reporting Act, so that means that, you know, a lot of stuff that people don't even know what they're talking about. And, you know, it just astounds me how we get into these barbershops and beauty salons, and we just start sprouting off opinions that aren't based in either reality or fact. You know, the Fair Credit Reporting Act used to have a provision in it that limited access to derogatory adverse records for 7 years. Clinton rolled that back. So now you go on a job interview and say a person wanted to do a criminal history check on you, you know, and I'm not saying it would be ethical or not. I'm just saying that, you know, typically, you know, if you acknowledge or not, you know, the fact that you have a criminal record, typically if it were beyond the 7 year period, you would probably be all right, unless it were like law enforcement or required a security clearance, when in which case they would have also, that whole process would have also included a FBI fingerprint check, which I have gone through as part of my employ with the state and the federal government. So you can't really get around it in that case. But, you know, like private employers that only doing, you know, so Clinton eliminated that. So anyway, the point I was trying to make is that, you know, you have these same, you know, people, ill-informed people in the African American community that think that Clinton was the next best thing to slice white bread, and they while they're insulting Barack Obama. Now, I didn't agree with everything that Obama did, but Obama was erudite. He was classy. You know, he was brilliant. So there is literally no comparison that can be made between him and Trump. The only reason that these people support Trump is because he told them in no uncertain terms that he is their last chance. The last chance for what? Well, the last chance for them to maintain hegemony, a white racial superiority. That was it. That was the whole kit and caboodle right there. Everything else was a dog whistle. Everything else that he has done and did do and told black people, black Americans, black folk, what have you got to lose? Well, we've obviously have a lot to lose, and we're losing a lot. This is why Reverend King, and this pastor down in Texas, and Don Lemon, and the rest of us, conscious folk, progressives in the African American community, irrespective of how the economy is doing. The economy is doing great. I mean, I'm doing great. I'm not going to sit up here and lie. You know, my business is thriving, but that's not the point, man. And this is where we have to get away from this, because you're personally benefiting that you ignore the plight of the larger, not only black community, but all the downtrodden folk. You know, I was watching 60 Minutes last night, and I was almost in tears, and I don't come to tears often, if at all. But to see these children, this monster, Bashir al-Assad, you know, that has decimated an entire country just to remain in power, is absolutely, it's immoral to the degree, it's depravity to the degree that you can't even measure it. I mean, it's astounding. Let's take a break and come back on the other side of the break.
Looking for a hip multimedia management company that can manage you, your service, product, or your next multimedia project? Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level. At East New York Management, we can produce and post-produce your project into a sleek finished product. We write scripts, slow-mos, blurs, and spots that are tight, hot, and bumpy. Liners that flow smoothly with wit as well as with verb. We also manage talent, produce, and post-produce shows that are on the cutting edge, reflecting the undeniable influence of hip-hop on popular culture. The most important thing that we can bring to your product is energy, enthusiasm, and a love for the creative process. Look for us on the World Wide Web at www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Call us at 347-846-8447 or email us at contact@eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Do not waste another minute with whack, boring, and uncreative multimedia and talent management companies. Bring your talent or project to East New York Management. Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level.
And we're back here Shipman. It's 86 degrees and sunny here in Brooklyn, New York, 10:54 a.m. Monday, 8/6/2018. And we were talking on the other side of the break about, you know, the fact that, you know, like Bernice has called us to action, you know, Reverend King, and said basically that, you know, we're in a position, especially in the clergy, you have a call to ministry, and you're given an opportunity, access, you need to speak truth to power. And these preachers, they violated their vow. That's what they did, basically. They set up there silent, and then if they did speak, you know, but they were told, from what I understood, that they weren't going to be allowed to speak. And at that point, they should have just turned it down. And this guy wrote a really, really a good letter about this, you know, basically saying that, you know, we know that access to power is intoxicating. It is, absolutely. I mean, and there's nothing wrong. You know, let me just say this here, you know, because I don't want people to think that, and it's kind of late, but if you want to join the conversation, give us a call at 215-383-3872. Again, that number is 215-383-3872. There is nothing wrong with living good, man. I like to live good. To take vacations, to share, you know, the bounty of your harvest. I absolutely believe that. But, you know, you have to, just like you have a work-life balance, you know, that, you know, we can and do, especially when we're entrepreneurs, we tend to work, you know, a little harder because we have to, because our bread and butter depends on it and our ability to meet basic needs and that sort of thing. But you, just like in any other field of endeavor, whether you were an entrepreneur or whether you were employed by someone, you know, you have to find a work-life balance. It's the same with your work-life balance. You know, after you find your calling in life, which you were supposed to do, and you become successful at it, then you have to figure out a way to give back, to create a legacy. You know, we've done it with the Black Boy Initiative. We haven't been successful, but that doesn't mean we're going to give up. We're not going to give up because we have that as our legacy, as something that we're going to do in the community. And we're going to do it probably in Baltimore, which is in dire need of it. I'm not saying New York doesn't need it as well. They do. But New York has tremendously more resources, and they have really, how would I say, you know, they have dynamic young progressives that are already doing something, and there are other people that I know that have been around years and years and years and years that are conscious and active and engaged, especially in Queens and here in Brooklyn. So, you know, it's not fertile ground for us. I think fertile ground is a city like Baltimore, which is basically teetering on the edge of insolvency. That could, and it's small enough to act as a lab of sorts. I don't want to say that disparagingly for so we're going to talk more about that over the coming weeks, and we hope you'll stick right with us and come back next Monday at 10:30 a.m. for Marketing Pulpit International New York edition. Listen to the rest of our hosts. We have 3, 4, 5 co-hosts from Monday through Saturday, and I have neglected again to get the time for the Saturday show, and forgive me, but if you go online, Marketing Pulpit International, down of all our hosts, and we hope you'll come back and have a great week. Thanks so much for listening.